This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. A Winna Wednesday. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One at Gary Witta.
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you, Gary?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, you having a good one? You've been playing some games? You've been getting some rest? You've been chilling out over there?
I haven't been getting much rest, but I did have a chance to play some games over the last over the weekend. Yeah, played the new WarioWare. Really enjoying that. My kid loves it.
Yeah, I was wondering if that'd be one that would be a hit with the daughter.
Yeah, she likes games that we can play together. Obviously, it's got a whole two player thing, and they're all very silly, little micro games. I had actually played.
Is she giggling at the farts a lot and the nose picking and all that? That's
she
playing
likes
well.
All. Yeah, she likes all the gross out humor. So two things that I learned about WarioWare, because I had never played a WarioWare game before. This is actually my first WarioWare
really?
Game
That's impressive.
Ever. Yes. And I learned that I really enjoy this whole concept of the micro game, these games that can last literally anywhere from like 2 to 5 seconds. I think it's very ingenious little, sure. Gameplay concepts. They're so simple and so dumb, but they're fun. And I didn't know just how insane WarioWare games were. I mean, it's like an acid trip. They're absolutely fucking nuts, but I like it. I like the WarioWare aesthetic a lot. There's a character you meet in the game called Mike, and he's a karaoke robot, and he's my new favorite character in video games right now.
Fair enough.
I love him. He's my favorite. He's so good.
Excellent, excellent. I haven't started it. I have it loaded. I have it ready. I'm saving it maybe, maybe some WarioWare while I'm in the hospital waiting for Jen to get this kid out so we can go
Yeah,
home.
And you and Jen can play it together as well. It has that, all the games are playable in two-player. I was a little bit upset. My feelings were hurt when after playing WarioWare quite a bit in two-player mode with my kid, she eventually said, Daddy, can I play in one-player mode? Because I think I would be better by myself.
The heartbreak.
I know, what a diss.
See it. Yeah,
what a diss. Yeah.
Was she right, though?
The worst thing is she then actually... Yes, she did better by herself, yeah.
I love it. I hate it, and I love it all at the same time. Well, Gary, that's excellent. I'm glad you're bonding with your daughter over some video games. That's what they're all about. Would you like to talk about some video games?
All the joys that are coming your way in the years ahead, my friend.
Yeah, a while from now, this kid's going to get out and just stare at the wall forever, which is great for me, because then I can just let it stare at the wall, and I can play games. You know what I mean? I got to work on this Deathloop Platinum. I got to do all this other stuff over there. But you ready to talk about some games, Gary?
Yeah, I don't know shit about what's going on in games at the moment. I spent the whole weekend reorganizing the house, and I've been running around just doing chores and deadlines and things like that. So I have not really had my eye on the bouncing ball that is video game news at all. So everything you tell me is probably going to be news to me.
Well, excellent. Let's talk about the fact we have some more Wolverine tidbits from Insomniac. PlayStation 5 is getting a new system firmware. And guess what? Games are getting delayed. We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show with your questions about the day's news, with your squad up requests. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you can get a bevy of benefits just like that for the Kinda Funny Games Cast, XCast, and PS I Love You XOXO. Worth pointing out, PS I Love You XOXO, usually up on Tuesdays, delayed until tomorrow to meet an embargo we can't talk about just yet. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, no big deal. You can watch us record Kinda Funny Games Daily live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Kookie, Hot Dog Mountain Man, Lexi Gunnar are. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, of course, maybe use that Amazon Prime sub to give us the free sub you get each and every 30 days. But more importantly, you need to keep us honest. You can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you, ladies and gentlemen. The co-host of PS I Love You, XOXO, a Kind of Funny Games Daily regular, Janet Garcia, is nominated for 2 Game Her Awards. You can go vote. Remember, they put it up by your Twitter handle / Twitch handle. So game on us at thegamehers.com/vote. She's in the Rising Star Streamer category and the Content Creator Top Journalist category. Go there, vote. It is free. All you need to do is pop in your email address. Also, a reminder, it is September here on Twitch. Viewers across the platform throughout the month can take advantage of 20% off subscriptions for first-time subscribers and gifted subs. Your support means the world to us here at Kinda Funny, and right now, you can take advantage of this deal and receive benefits like ad-free viewing, sub emotes, and more. Remember, like I said at the top of the show, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Prime Gaming, which gets you free bonus goodies and games, of course, but gives you 1 free subscription to give away here on twitch.tv/whatever you want it to be, do Kinda Funny Games each and every 30 days. They don't remind you. It doesn't auto renew. So if you're listening on a podcast service later, it would mean a lot to us if you went over and did it. And like I said, PS I Love You posting tomorrow because of an embargo. Thank you to our Patreon producers, the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash and Canva, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Time for some news. Baker's dozen.
Now, Kevin, let's address the elephant in the room here. That's only for you and me because you're on the pre-show. What would you do if Paula's over there taking big business meeting calls? Or so you were whispering to me in the very beginning, just one word answers, like stuff like that. What would you have done here? Like, you know what I mean? Do you try to time it out? Do you worry about the schedule with Paula, or would you have just let it ride today and just been quiet?
No, I worry about it every day. We'll sort it out. You know, it's one of those things that, like, until your bedroom's on fire, you don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Great point. Gary taught me that a long time ago. If your house is ever on fire, you have to worry about it till the moment. You don't have to put on fire extinguishers. You let the fire happen.
When have I ever said that?
When you were giving me all the fire safety tips that one time.
I feel like this is a dream you had, but...
It definitely didn't happen. I'm just making shit up. It's a podcast, Gary. Yes, and. Number one on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we have... A few little kind of Wolverine details. This is from Kat Bailey over at IGN.com. We don't have much more than a basic teaser trailer for Marvel's Wolverine, but some interesting tidbits are beginning to emerge that shed light on Insomniac's new superhero action game for the PlayStation 5. One of the big questions that fans had concerned its scope. Would Marvel's Wolverine be similar in size to Spider-Man, or would it be more like a side project like Miles Morales? Creative director Brian Horton addressed that point in the kind of short and to-the-point tweet that would make Logan proud. Answering a fan question, he said, Wolverine, but the quote is, full-size, mature tone. Brief as it is, Horton's response provides a decent picture of Insomniac's intentions for Marvel's Wolverine. Despite being developed in conjunction with Spider-Man 2, Marvel's Wolverine is being treated as every bit as much a priority as Spidey. As for the mature tone, that should provide some hope for fans hoping Wolverine will ally with the grittier tone that the character is known for. Still, it may be too much to hope for a mature rating. Let me try that again. Still, it may be too much to hope for a mature rating. As successful as R-rated superhero films like Deadpool have proven, Insomniac will be under plenty of pressure to sell to as wide of an audience as possible. Gary Whitta, you and I have not caught up about this here Wolverine game. About the PlayStation Showcase, again, congratulations on your game being featured there. I heard you talking about it in XCast. Always good for you.
Thank you very much.
What do you think about Wolverine? Full size, mature tone, great. Is this game going to be rated M for mature? Gary Whitta.
I don't see why not. I mean, given that it's Wolverine, I feel like an M rating is probably the most, you know, artistically appropriate for it. It'll, you know, let them really kind of go like full Wolverine on it. And is, you know, in the world of movies, I understand why, you know, the big budget movies, they always want to keep them PG-13 rather than R because it does, you know, freeze out a lot of the audience. But M-rated games do fine, don't they? There's plenty of AAA blockbuster games that are M-rated, and they sell.
You look at GTA 5, right? Breakout.
This is one of those areas where I'm kind of venturing into. You know, I don't have like the facts and figures at hand, so I'll issue that caveat first. But I don't think an here's my feeling without any scientific data.
Kindoffunny.com/wrong. This sounds like something
my feeling. My sense is that an M rating on a video game does not restrict its audience the way an R rating on a film does.
I would agree with that. I would agree. I think that video games are such a different beast and they cost so much more money that, yes, in general, we're already talking about pricing out a lot of kids who are coming at it. Not that I don't think it'll affect it, right? We talk about how successful Marvel Spider-Man was in terms of being, you know, the most successful superhero game, more than 20 million copies sold or whatever. Yeah, Wolverine won't put up those numbers necessarily. I mean, right? We talk about GTA 5 again, but that is a...
I mean, in an age, GTA in general. In an age of digital, you know, purchases, there's going to be tons of 13, 14, 15-year-old kids,
sure kids going to
buy M-rated games. But no, and I honestly don't know. I was in a GameStop yesterday, actually, for the first time in God knows how long. And it was almost a weird experience. Literally like going in a time machine. It's like, ooh, what is this? GameStop. Like, people actually go to stores and pick a game off the shelf and buy it and take it home. Like, what a weird, what
Jeffy
a quaint,
Grub.
You know. I really did feel like a time traveler. It's so weird.
That's what I'm saying.
Grabbing a newspaper, like, what day is it? You know, it's just so weird.
Jeffy Grub in the chat says, and no one buys games in stores. What is this, the roaring 20s?
So that's the thing. But like, so here's my question. And again, maybe the chat would know, or maybe, you know, maybe you're wrong, could tell us. Like, if you go to a GameStop and you're clearly like 12 or 13 years old and you want to buy an M-rated game, do they card you? I mean, is there even really a system in place to enforce this stuff? Digitally, there really isn't, unless, you know, your parents set up your console and age-gated it, which I don't think probably happens all that much. Most parents probably don't know how to do that even. But in the digital world, yeah, you're playing whatever the fuck you want. And when you go to a store... I just don't know. Are there kids hanging out or outside GameStop saying, "Hey, Mister, will you go inside and buy me this M-rated game?"
I remember back in my day, people having to do that. I remember
I doubt it highly.
The Nanobiologist has dropped a link here to a 2011 article from Time Magazine. It's by Evan Narcisse, of course, a writer over there on the War for Wakanda thing, wrote Rise of the Black Panther for Marvel. But back when he was still just a games journalist like us, it was called Games Rated Mature Are Made Less, Bought More. If you're around the median age of most video game players, which the Entertainment Software Association says is about 35 years old, then chances are that you've got more than a few M-rated games on your shelf, roughly equivalent to the R film rating issued by the MPAA. M for mature stands for the highest age bracket for video game categorization. Not sure there's adults only, but nobody makes it. Yeah, yeah. You need to be 17 or older to be able to purchase titles like Bulletstorm or Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Still, for all the attention and controversy M-rated games can get, they don't account for the majority of title ratings. The Entertainment Software Board just released statistics show that 55% of some of the ratings assigned in 2010 garnered an E for everyone, followed by teen at 21. The big bad M-rating games made up a measly 5%. Not all the games that the ESRB blah, blah, blah. The real rub there comes when you compare the percentages against the earnings ranked on by the 5%. Of course, last year saw record sales for Halo Reach and Call of Duty Black Ops, but those are only part of the story. Per Ars Technica, 5 of the top 10 games in 2010 were rated M. And I think that's where you start going, right? Where we start seeing it go there. I think gaming always skews older. I disagree with Kat, where, you know, Kat's thing here is, you know, still maybe a bit too much to hope for a mature rating. I think P.S. I love you. Again, you're in this time warp. We recorded it yesterday. It'll go live tomorrow. We have a whole bunch of discussion about M rating from Wolverine, but then Wolverine stuff and then the PlayStation Showcase. Big questions that weren't answered. But for Wolverine, I think it has to be rated M. And I think Insomniac knows that and wants that. I think that Marvel Games understands that they now have a library that is so wide, where we're talking about something like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, all the different Wolverine appearances in the different mobile apps, Wolverine in the magic game, Marvel Sons, whatever, what's it called? Marvel Dark Sons? It's escaping me right now. The new one from Firaxis, right? Like, there's plenty of ways to go get your Wolverine hit if you want the E for everybody, T for teen version of it. Midnight Suns. Thank you, everybody. But I think right now what Insomniac wants to do is nail Wolverine the way they nailed Spider-Man. And I think the way to nail Wolverine is to sit there and say, you know what? This is going to be... His claws are going to have blood on it. I don't think it's going to be like that's going to be the hook of it. I don't think it's going to be like the gameplay demo gear we used to get for like Afro Samurai, where it's like, oh, you know, you can slash in 360 degrees and watch their body fall apart in very specific ways. I just don't think they're going to pull punches in terms of he's got claws, claws kill people.
I think there's a number of things at play here. In general, it's an interesting conversation to have just in general, but I do think the M rating isn't as restrictive, especially in the age of digital purchasing, where, you know, it's really hard to age gate that stuff, again, unless your parents have set up parental controls on your system. In the case of Wolverine specifically, yes, I think there is an argument, a creative, artistic argument to be made that if you want to do Wolverine right, you want to have all the restrictions off and you want to do an M rating. I think you can make a decent PG-13 Wolverine game. You just don't want to have to worry about the restriction. Like, if you want to do some really hardcore stuff, not just violence, but like really mature, you know, themes, you know, you're going to want to have that full freedom of creative expression. And also, I think there's an aspect here because it's Insomniac. I think many other developers, I think, would get sat down and be told by Sony, this is a mandate from corporate. This is going to be a T for teen game maximum. You may not go, you know, you may not do anything that's going to get us an M rating. And that's just, you know, the message from on high. Insomniac, I think, can go into that room with Sony, even though they're wholly owned by Sony and are a PlayStation studio, can sit and say, listen, we're fucking Insomniac. We know what we're doing over here. You may have noticed that we have delivered banger after banger after banger for you guys. Trust us on this one. We know what we're doing. Our creative, you know, recommendation is that we need an M rating to really make this game as good as it can be. And by the way, did we mention we're fucking Insomniac? I think they're going to get an M rating if they want it.
I think it's that, and I think it's Marvel games, where I think, again, you know, I know I feel like I talk way too much about Marvel games. And I said that on PS I Love You tomorrow as well. But it's that thing, you know, that I think Bill Roseman and the team over there understand Marvel properties, and they understand, and they've been around long enough. They've been established long enough now that there's a bunch of different entry points, and you can be as diverse with Marvel games now as you can with regular games. And I think you can have something dark in there that would actually, and not dark, like, it's not gonna be Last of Us dark, you know what I mean, in terms of that bloody gory. It's not gonna be Punisher rated M, if you remember that game where you're shoving people in wood chippers and shit back in the day. Like, I don't think it's gonna be like that, but I definitely think you have a shot at it.
What does your gut tell? If you had to put money on it right now, M or T, what do you think comes out the other end when we see this game?
I think it's a combination of everything you've said and we've said, right? Insomniac has proven that they get this, that they get the Marvel Universe, they get how to make a great superhero game. So let them make a great superhero game, which you would say has to be it. I think Marvel Games gets that. Their portfolio can be diverse. People can go, if kids want to play a Wolverine game, they can go play a Wolverine game anywhere. Wouldn't you rather as a brand, because again, remember, Marvel could still be licensing their IP out to developers and not giving a shit about it. They established Marvel Games as a brand. Wouldn't they rather it be that, all right, cool, Wolverine isn't going to sell 20 million copies. I think it's going to sell really well. It's not going to sell, and this is just the argument, isn't going to sell 20 million copies, but it's going to get the Game of Year awards. It's going to get the more feathers in the cap. It's going to, you know, be a prestige title for us. It's going to be a loss leader, even though there's no way this game is a loss. Like, the M rating wouldn't hurt it that much, but you know, you don't get it as many hands. Not to mention Spider-Man 2 is going to still be just like Spider-Man 1. You're going to be able to go play that one and have all the kiddies get that.
Right.
Go get them, I'd say. Speaking of going to get them, especially on PlayStation, number two, there's a new PlayStation 5 system software, and it's coming tomorrow. We're going to go to the PlayStation blog. This is the one that's been talked about for a while, but now they're actually detailing what's happening. This is the one that has been testing. This is the one that you could, you know, expand your storage on. It's officially rolling out for everybody tomorrow. I'm going to run through some bullet points here. Control center customization. Players can now customize their control center more freely by rearranging or choosing which controls to hide or unhide at the bottom of the screen. Enhanced game base. Players can now easily view and write messages to friends and parties directly from the game base in the control center. While viewing game base in full screen, players can also see how many of their friends are online, busy, or offline, as well as accept, decline, or cancel multiple friend requests at once. The game library and home screen are getting updates. Gary, this is one I've heard you complain about on XCast. It should be helpful. If you have PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 versions of the same game installed, they'll now appear separately in the install tab of the game library and on the home screen. Each game's tile is now clearly indicates which platform it is. This is a huge fucking problem before, Gary, right? You talked about it.
Yeah, Xbox has that handy little XS logo down in the corner that differentiates it. Why would you have both versions of game installed, though? I don't understand that.
Oh, well, I don't know if you understand this, Gary, and this is Greg Miller, PlayStation fanboy number one. So you guys did this thing called Smart Delivery, and in the lead up to
you
it...
You guys... I don't work for Xbox. What the fuck are you talking about?
This is all compliments. This is all compliments. This is me. This is a joke. This is a bit. And we gave you a really hard time leading up to it, saying, man, what is it exactly? This seems kind of weird. How hard could it be on the other way? And it turns out that PlayStation made it really stupid and hard, and you guys made it really stupid and easy. And you talk about it, there's an X or S on the game. It doesn't even fucking matter. download whatever version of the game you want to your Xbox, and you click it, you're playing the best version of the game. Here at PlayStation, plenty of people get confused. Like right now, like if you want to go, you know, you got to like, if you were going to boot up Avengers PS5 right now for the first time, right? You got to go into Avengers PS4, and then you got to upload your save from there, and then you got to download it to the PS5. So like, why would you need both versions? Because you need to move your saves around.
When I went looking for Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate for PlayStation 5, it's really fucking confusing because it didn't even have the integrate part like list. You had no fucking idea which version you were getting. And I really had to dig deep to make sure that I'd actually gotten the PS5 version that I wanted, not the PS4 version. It has been a mess. And you know, it's not difficult to figure out. Like Xbox is on the other side of the street going, "Hey, this is how you do it. Like, just copy that." And it seems like that's what they're doing. And I think we'll be glad for a bit more clarity. Again, for as long as we're in this, what's going to be a very long transition period from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, anything they can do to improve the clarity on that is welcome.
Again, there's a whole bunch of more bullet points over there that you can go read. I'm kind of going through the top level ones here. PlayStation Now has a resolution selector and connection test tool. PlayStation Now subscribers can now choose between 720p and 1080p depending on the individual game to accommodate their preferred video resolution for game streaming. I sound like I had a stroke there. Video resolution. A streaming connection test also helps them identify and troubleshoot any problems with their connection. Automatic capture of personal best videos. When players compete in challenges for a better time or a higher score, instead a new personal best, a video clip of the action will automatically be recorded. Players can also share clips of their personal best directly to the challenge card in the control center or from their media gallery. Players have direct control over this functionality via their capture and broadcast settings. Big one here, new trophy tracker. We've added a new trophy tracker that lets players quickly access up to 5 trophies per game through the control center. Love it. 3D audio support for built-in TV speakers. The PS5 September update also adds in support for players to experience 3D audio through their built-in TV speakers. Once enabled in the sound menu, this feature transforms standard 2-channel TV speaker audio into 3-dimensional sound, heightening the sense of gameplay immersion. Starting tomorrow, PS5 players around the globe can expand their storage capacity with an M.2 SSD, a type of high-speed solid-state drive that can be installed in the PS5 console or the PS5 Digital Edition console. Once installed in the PS5 or the PS5 Digital Edition console, M.2 SSD storage can now be used to download, copy, and launch PS5 and PS4 games, as well as media apps. You can play PS5 and PS4 games directly from M.2 SSD storage and freely move games between the storage options. Important. M.2 SSD must meet the minimum performance and size requirements outlined on the page that's on the PlayStation blog. Using an M.2 SSD also requires effective heat dissipation with a cooling structure, such as a heat sink, that meets the dimensional requirements. Please read the page link, blah, blah, blah. PS Remote Play app and PS app enhancements. With the PS Remote Play app, players have enjoyed the ability to remotely stream and play PS4 and PS5 games, switch between games, and browse their consoles' menus and compatible device connected to the broadband internet. Now players using the mobile app for iOS and Android have the option to use the mobile connection data when Wi-Fi is not available. Starting next Thursday, September 23rd, a PS app update will begin rolling out globally and give users the ability to view their friends share screen broadcasts together. Gary, does any of this excite you?
So I was dozing off for a minute there. Is this something new on the internal storage? Because when you were talking about cooling structures and heat dissipation, that sounded a lot like the language we heard months ago when they first started to roll out the upgradable.
Well, if you remember what happened is they had talked forever ago about PlayStation 5 will be upgradable, but you need to wait for drives. They had no news on drives forever. Then what? In the last month, they did
beta. But some people did go out and try drives and got them working, right?
In the beta for this firmware in the past month, that's when people were like, okay, cool, I'm in the beta, I can do this. And that's when they started testing and putting in new M.2s.
I mean, I would love to upgrade the storage on my PlayStation. I'm willing to jump through the hoops to do it. I want to know that the drive that I put in is going to work and be compatible and have the right speeds and not set my PS5 on fire. Yeah. Talk about houses burning down. I would like to avoid that scenario. If Sony's not going to do their own official one, I just want to see a list, or I want to be able to go to like a store or go to Amazon or Newegg or whatever and see a thing that has a sticker on it that says certified, this is, you know, for the PlayStation 5, will work, won't explode, you know, and is going to do what you want it to do. I just want to know it's like officially approved or certified in some way. Then I'll get my screwdrivers out.
I'm right there with you, Gary. But the great news is that for you and me who want it but aren't in desperate need of it, you have to wait now 3-4 more days. Jeff Grubb in our Twitch chat, of course, Jeff Grubb from GamesBeat, of course, Jeff Grubb from Giant Bomb, puts in there, I have a 4 terabyte SSD in my PS5. I'll post a video soon. Jeff got into it. I saw him, the beta, I guess, and I saw him post weeks ago now that he was doing this. Jeff is, of course, one of my most trusted industry, I'm not even saying friends, like one of the people in the industries that I follow. When Jeff puts up this video and says, this is the one I use and it was easy, great. When IGN puts up their article of like, here's the five we tried, here's the one that doesn't even need a Hink Seek, here you go.
Honestly, the one that got me thinking, okay, fine, I'll probably grab this one, is Mark Cerny posted that he put, I think it was like one of those ones that looked like a big chocolate bar as the heat sink on top of it. It's like a Western Digital or something he put in there. It looked like this industrial Terminator chip or whatever that he put into his PlayStation. That with Mark Cerny's doing it, that's as close as you're going to get to approval, you know, short of some, you know, official certification. So I feel like we're right at that tipping point now, right, where we're going to, you know, we're going to start seeing those official lists and drives are going to start shipping with some kind of, you know, labeling on it that says, you know, certified, official, this will work in your PlayStation 5. And at that point, I think I'd be happy to grab one because I definitely want to upgrade my storage. I'm tired of juggling games on it, and I would love to get... I mean, Jeffy Grubb, of course, has gone over the top with 4 terabytes, but just going to 2 would make a big difference to me.
Yeah, that's my same thing. I'm just going to wait it out, let it go, and then when somebody's like, this is the great one that you know, I've been using it for a month and a half, and it hasn't fried my PS5, great. Because that's my other concern, Gary. I don't want to put something in there and then turns out down the line.
Let other people be the guinea pigs. I'm not that desperate. I know there are people out there that want to be the early adopters and they're going and grabbing the drives the minute they're available and they're willing to experiment. God bless them. I'm glad they're out there. Someone's got to be the canary in the coal mine.
Sure.
I just don't want it to be me. I do want the extra storage, but I'm not desperate for it. You know, obviously with the Xbox, it was easy. Just slot the thing in the back and you knew it was going to work and it worked day one. For this, where it's a bit more of a Wild West type situation, in a way it's good because, you know, there's going to be more choice. There's going to be competition from third party drive manufacturers out there. Competition, you know, increases availability, brings the prices down. There are going to be lots of options. I just don't want any uncertainty at all, none, about the drive that I order being the one that's going to A, perform as fast as it possibly can, and B, not in any way damage the PlayStation.
Brick the system. Or that's my nightmare. House. What if this thing, what if I put it in there and it bricks? And like, that's why I'm saying I'm going to go a couple months. It bricks and then I can't get a PS5.
Yeah, and it's not like you're going to get another PlayStation. You can't get them anywhere.
Exactly.
What do you do? Send it off to Sony and wait God knows how long for them to repair it for you? By the way, they won't because it's like, oh, well, you invalidated the warranty by opening the thing up.
No,
so
this is meant to be. That's a
is it?
Watch.
Is it, though?
Yes. They put it in the official video when they announced the PS5, like, insides and stuff.
They said this will not invalidate your warranty?
Yeah, sliding off. They want you to put the expanded storage in there.
All right, okay.
That's why they have a slot. It's not the same as when it was, like, you know, the little I know exactly what you're talking about, like the holographic seal on the back that if you cut that on your PS2 or whatever, then hey, guess what, you can't help.
Oh yeah,
you went in and you modded this to play Japanese stuff, you can't do this, you're fine.
So we're right at the tipping point now, right, where we're gonna start to see those lists. I mean, I'm sure there are some that are already out there. I want super duper levels of comfort, though. I really, really want to know that it's working 100% and you know, shop around for price a little bit, get it up to 2 terabytes. I'll do the surgery on it. Let's go. Surgery. I desperately need that extra space.
Yeah, I definitely could use it.
A lot of games right now, when there's a choice between, like, you know, whatever, you know, whether it be Call of Duty or NBA 22, whatever's out there right now on a multi-format, you know, multi-platform basis, I'm generally choosing the Xbox version just because I don't have to juggle space on that platform. I mean, there's other reasons as well. I prefer the controller and stuff like that. But, you know, on an Xbox, I know because I've got 2 terabytes on it, I can just add it on to, you know, the free space that I've got. If I get a PlayStation version, I'm like, what game am I going to delete to make room for this one, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. I hear you. It does suck. But now that you have, once we find it, I'll come over, I'll install it for you, and then I will take your Xbox.
Oh, you'll do it for me?
I'll come on and smash your Xbox after I do it, and that's how we'll be fine. You'll be ready to go. God knows you won't give it to the kids at the children's hospital, but that's an X-Cast joke you have to
listen
to.
Hey, that's my private business on the Kind of Funny X-Cast.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear things that are happening on the X-Cast before anybody else, maybe live as they record it, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, kick us a few bucks, be on the show, get the post show, all those other benefits. But on top of those benefits, you'd also get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Gregway, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by HBO Max. If you're here, you probably love video games, but sometimes we have to face the cold, hard truth. We can't game all the time. Sometimes we got to kick back and watch some movies and some TV too. So it's a good thing HBO Max is here to save the day with all of your favorite DC content. HBO Max has an expansive superhero collection to feed your fandom. Greg Miller is stoked, of course. They've got Wonder Woman. They got Justice League, Stargirl, Batwoman, HBO Shazam, Suicide Squad. The list goes on, of course. Plus, the streaming platform lets you download your favorite titles and take them with you on the go. All the bingeable collections handpicked by humans, not robots. Personally, I've been enjoying a whole bunch of different things over on HBO. I love all the day and date releases. We know we got The Matrix now coming out in December. That's really exciting. I look forward to it. We got Malignant. I'm about to watch that this weekend. Check out some of the best superhero content and so much more only on HBO Max. Get streaming today by going to hbom.ax/kindafunnydc. That's hbom.ax/kindafunnydc. Next up, shout out to Rooster Teeth's Last Laugh Season 2. I was a huge fan of Season 1, mainly because my boy Alfredo was in it. But Season 2, can't wait for it. Here's the whole pitch for it. Do not laugh. It's part game show, part social experiment, 100% evil laugh challenge, spectacular. Last Laugh returns for a second season with 12 contestants gathered for 6 hours to see who literally laughs last. If they laugh, smile, or smirk, they're eliminated and prevented from dethroning Season 1 champion, the homie, Blaine Gibson. The host of the show, Jeff Ramsey and Elise Willems. So that's super awesome. They have a new collection of surprises, but will they be enough to break the contestants? We'll have to find out. Last Laugh Season 2 debuts September 9th on Rooster Teeth, but you can catch up on all of Season 1 right now.
I said not on my plane. I punched him. All right, back to the show. Number 3, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? We got some more delays for you. 2021 has not been kind. We'll start with Rocksmith. To ensure we provide the best guitar learning service, we have decided to delay Rocksmith Plus until 2022. We will use this opportunity to incorporate user feedback from our closed beta. We are convinced that this new release plan will give us time to deliver a smooth experience for all guitar and bass lovers. Thank you for your patience and understanding. We can't wait to share more about Rocksmith Plus soon. So that's delayed, Gary, just sometime into 2022. Then, what?
No, go ahead. Then, I forgot something that I wanted to ask you about from the previous item, but I'll can I just do it now?
So yeah, sure. Okay. Well, do you want to talk about external or internal storage? What do you got?
No, that became the headline. But the other thing I wanted to ask about that piqued my interest was when they talked about how if you play just, you know, sound coming through your TV speakers,
then
they
can the audio,
do like fake surround sound or whatever. That's interesting to me because I do play just through my TV speakers. But I was curious about like, what do you do when you play video games at home? Do you wear headphones? Do you have like a surround sound setup? Like, what do you do? How do you get your sound when you play video games?
I have a sound bar. So like I'm usually going off of that. If it's late at night or I'm playing multiplayer stuff, I'll kick on the PlayStation 3D headset, the PlayStation 5, and then I have the Xbox headset for the same thing. Like when I'm curious, are playing Aliens Fireteam, I love being able to dial Discord into the Xbox headphones and have Xbox.
I'm curious about those sound bars because I don't know if they're as good as like a whole surround sound setup. But surround sound setups where you've got speakers like literally all around you in terms of the cabling, everything, those can be a real hassle. I had surround sound at my last house with all the, you know, again, you got to run all the cable. I ended up deciding that it wasn't worth the hassle. The TV that just the sound that comes just out of my TV is actually pretty damn good, but I am curious about sound bars, if they're a gimmick or a scam, or if they're like,
let me get Tim Getty in here.
Getty's gonna come talk to us about sound bars.
Kevin, you keep trying to say something. What are you trying to say?
A bunch of people that use them.
Yeah, I don't know. Gary doesn't care.
What?
The bar is a significant sound upgrade from just TV audio, especially because you have an LG, right?
So the sound that comes out is pretty good.
Yeah, those are really thin. The speakers that it has on there are not great. So a sound bar is definitely a step up, but then like full blown surround sound is beautiful.
If I could set it all up with all the cabling like in the walls and stuff, that'd be one thing. But
you could hire someone to do that.
I could, but it's complicated. But my living room and my TV is just not set up well for it. It would be a big hassle. Yeah, I'm honestly content with the sound out of my TV. Yeah. Or if I want to get a good surround sound type experience, like Greg mentioned when we were playing Aliens, it's and you want to hear like, oh shit, there's an alien behind me. A decent set of headphones will do that well.
Without a doubt, the PlayStation headphones that they sold for when you're playing with the PS5, like that's my go-to usually when I'm doing it. and that fake surround that the headphones do is directional sound is phenomenal. Like when we're playing Fortnite,
yeah.
I'm often like, oh, dude's coming from the left. He's far away. He's getting closer. And like,
sure.
You can really pinpoint where you're hearing the people from.
I've been using both the official Xbox wireless headset and the fancy Bang & Olufsen ones that you can get, and they're both, again, like if you want that surround sound experience, they're great. And of course, you have the added benefit of like you can play games late at night and not bother other people in your house.
I honestly think it's like whatever works for you, right? Like I thought about going overkill and getting, because back in the day, right, when I'm trying to figure out timing wise, like 2012-ish, 2011, I had a surround sound setting with the subwoofer on the floor, the speakers behind me, the bar in front, and it was fine. But eventually, like when we were moving one time, one of the speakers, I think over time in general, just one of the speakers broke, or the subwoofer broke, and so I was always on the fence, and I was using TV for a long time. Then I bought this sound bar, and for unwashed mass like me, it's great. And it's better than, my TV, even though I have an LG TV and I think the speakers on the LG TV are great. This enhanced more. And then even now I just upgraded my TV. And when I did that, like it had more settings to talk to the bar. So now the bar is even better, to the point of like the 3D audio you're talking about from the headset, Kev. Like I was playing Deathloop last night, and like games are so good now and smart now that I was doing the thing where Juliana had invaded and it was an AI, not a person. And it was that thing of running around, and then I'd hear her make a comment, and it would be a little bit louder or a little bit quieter. And I was like trying to pinpoint where she was, and I was able to figure out she was above me and get over and then get the drop on her. And that was strictly because of the sound coming off, which is, of course, the bar mixed with the game mixed with the PlayStation.
The only thing I want to say, Greg, and like I'm not trying to be like rude or anything, but the sound system that you had was super like basic. Like
it was also old. It was a Vizio I had had from like, if that was 2012, I must have gotten that in like 2009.
But like, not when it came out, it wasn't like top of the line. So like there are a lot of different things you can do to like have, like I really, really like my sound system. And I also really, really like Tim's sound system. And that's even one step further. And like there are certain things that you can watch on there where you're like, oh my God, the like helicopter's right above me and I can feel it, But anyway, it's good stuff.
I think it's one of those where
curious what you did at home, because I've got a very basic setup. I really, it's either headphones for me, and headphones are great for that surround sound experience, or I will. The thing is, like, my wife doesn't like it. When the TV is like too loud, it's annoying anyway. I feel like you only really get the full effect of surround sound and the bass when you really crank it, and that's just not something we do in our house. We usually play games at like medium volume instead of like really cranking it up. Sure. Maybe I'll go look at wire cutter sound bars at Christmas time. Buy me that, you look at something, because that feels like it would definitely be a step up from the sound that I have now. But without going all out with running speakers and cables all around the living room, that to me is too much.
Understandable. I think it's come really far though. You don't have to, like, everybody's talking about in the chat right now, talking about the wireless satellite speakers and shit like that.
I've heard that they can be their own. Like, anytime you go wireless,
anything's going to be a
all
problem.
All kinds of bullshit that gets involved. Anyway, I was just curious. Sorry.
I like it. No, Gary, I'm happy you were curious. I'm happy to talk about it. Tim's in a meeting. Otherwise, he'd be here to give you a whole bunch of stuff. And if you want to, just text him.
But Tim's going to start talking. Tim's going to be like, I remember when I used to have like technical questions, I used to go on like AVS forums, and those guys are the hardest of the hardcore. And like, it just gives you all this tech inadequacy, because this way, you're not going to get the best thing.
I am an unwashed mass.
Tens of thousands of dollars on fucking home theaters and
TVs, when it comes to the fucking computer, when it comes to the surround sound system. So if you go to Tim, he will give you the high, medium, low option, and that will be it. And it won't be like, well, this is using yada yada. He will just say, this is my recommendation based on what you said to do. He does it for me all the time. Tim's a saint, all right? Don't besmirch his name.
All right. I just look at that home cinema setup he's got over there, and I'm thinking, like, how could he possibly speak the same language as me? Because he's living in the fucking year 3000, Greg.
But he's the expert at TVs and stuff like that. That's why I think just on the show yesterday, he was talking about LG TVs, right? Because he sold all of us on LG TVs, and then some kid wrote in about it, and he was giving them of the line. He was going down of like, we get the C1.
If you're okay, constantly fucking worrying about burn-in, great. That's been my problem with the last two LGs I've had. Like, otherwise,
really? Did you not turn on the automatic pixel, like? It scoots the pixels over in a way.
I didn't turn that on because it's turned on by default, but I still had to have LG technicians come out and replace two panels because of serious burn-in.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to say I haven't had that problem.
Anytime I'm playing a game or watching a TV station that has like a logo or an ident or something or a HUD like down, like right on the, you know, there's like any kind of constant image on the screen, I'm panicking that that's going to burn in because I've seen it twice now.
How old's your TV?
And I'm looking at the chat right now. Burn-in isn't a problem anymore. Fuck you. Yes, it is. I've had LG replace two fucking panels because of serious burn-in. It is a problem.
They don't. Well, anyways, I used to watch CNN in the mornings, and I don't have any burn-in with my guy. But
hey, man, we're not trying to take away from your system.
Must not be a problem then. I must have imagined it.
I do the whitewash though, like once a month. Because I'm
crazy. What the hell's that?
There's a setting you can go in there and like. It does. It flashes the screen a whole bunch of things while you go to bed.
Oh, okay.
I haven't really. Where's that setting? I've not seen that. There's the pixel refresher thing. Is it that?
It might be.
Because it's a cycle that takes hours to run.
Back to number three on the Roper Report in progress. Like I said, Rocksmith delayed till 2022. Dying Light 2 also delayed. Surprising, not Greg Miller, who's been warning all of you. Hello, everyone. Today, we have important news to share with you about the development progress on Dying Light 2 Stay Human. It has always been our company's goal to build transparent and honest communication with our community, fans, and gamers. Every day, we strive to grow in this element. The team is steadily progressing with the production, and the game is nearing the finish line. The game is complete, and we are currently play testing it. It is by far the biggest and most ambitious project we've ever done. Unfortunately, we've realized for us to bring the game to the level we envision, we need more time to polish and optimize it. That is why we've decided to move the release date to February 4th, 2022. We are sorry to keep all of you waiting a little longer, but we want the game to meet your highest expectations on release and don't want to compromise on this. However, you won't have to wait too long to get a deeper look at Dying Light 2 Stay Human. Next month, both press and content creators will get their hands on PC and console versions of the game during an upcoming series of preview events around the world. They'll be able to share their experiences of the city with you. In the meantime, we would like to thank all of our fans around the world. Without your support and feedback, we would never have come so far on this journey. In addition to our regular updates, we'll be gearing up to share more exciting news about the game this month. Stay safe and stay human, the CEO. If that wasn't enough, Gary, for your final delay, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I'm just kidding you. They actually went gold. They tweeted, we're thrilled to announce that Guardians of the Galaxy game has gone gold October 26th. Here we come. Sign of the horns. You got this. Gary, two more delays on the pile, making for an entirely packed 2022, let alone a packed spring. Are you surprised?
About games being delayed? No.
Huh? Of course not.
I mean, it's pretty much, you know, par for the course at this point, right? Where, you know, COVID is continuing to wreak havoc in all areas, social, political, health, obviously, the economy, business. It's a real thing, and these delays don't surprise me. And, you know, get used to it. You know, this is just now a part of the regular news cycle, shit getting delayed.
Well, let's go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can write in to be part of the show, just like your boy Mario did. Mario writes in and says, wahoo! Hey, y'all. Happy Widow Wednesday on a Tuesday, of course. With the news of Dying Light 2 getting pushed to February 2022, the opening 3 months of next year are looking stacked. So let's put down some bets. Of these games, which do you think will hit their release dates? Thanks, and keep killing it as usual. Heads up for everybody watching live in chat. I did not have time to actually go through and check these release dates, so I'm looking at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if any of them are screwed up. But Mario's list goes like this. Elden Ring, January 21st. Pokemon Legends, January 28th. Rainbow Six Extraction, January ? Dying Light 2, February 4th. Horizon Forbidden West, February 18th. Sifu, February 22nd. Saints Row Reboot, February 25th. Gran Turismo 7, March 5th. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, March 25th. GTA 5 Enhanced or whatever, March. Gary, if you were a betting man, who is going to get out of the way? Who is going to say this is too crowded?
I don't know, but it almost feels like the January, February, March next year almost feels like October, November, December, right? You know, we've talked for so many years about how the holiday season is stacked with so many games, because the big games typically come out towards the end of the year, A, because of the holiday gift buying season, and B, because they want to be fresh in the attention span of people who are doing game of the year type stuff. It's the same with films. Sure. You know, all the big awards films come out towards the end of the year because they want to be you know, fresh in the attention of critics and judges and things like that. You know, you could have a great game come out in January, but you might have forgotten about it by December when it's time to think about the best games or films of the year or whatever. But because of these delays, basically, it's almost like a large part of the holiday AAA season has been pushed into the first quarter of the following year. And yeah, I've seen a bunch of coverage about this, that January, February, March of next year is going to be stacked with games. And obviously, you know, good problem to have, right? Oh no, there's too many good games. Some companies, I think, are going to have to make a decision about what games they want to move, because, you know, when you've got that many releases coming out in such a, you know, in the same time span, you know, something's got to give, right? We can't all afford to buy all of those games all at once. And so some, you know, again, there's going to be a kind of economic Darwinism here where the strongest games hold on to those dates and the other ones are going to have to move. Yeah, it's weird to see all the different ways that COVID and, you know, other economic issues around the world have affected the game release calendar. And we are going to have, you know, typically it's going to be an interesting season because it's still going to be a busy holiday season, right? Battlefield, Call of Duty, Halo. I'm sure there are other big titles coming out.
Far Cry, and then, Back for Blood, yeah.
But then once you get into January, February, there's usually a bit of a lull, right? You're still playing the big holiday games, but there aren't any big releases, you know, for a little while.
Well, that used to be the thing, right? Especially it's funny to talk about Dying Light 2's delay. Dying Light's always the one we go back to and point to, that Dying Light hit so hard when the original came out because it came out in the springtime or whatever, January, February, March timeframe, where there wasn't a lot of stuff happening. And so people were, you know, it's this weird thing I feel with us where we all are all about this year's games and then we hit the new year and it's like, what are you going to do for me this year? Your old games are old. Game of the years that have been voted on, everybody wants to move forward with new shit. And Dying Light benefited from that the first time around. But when they did that and got huge, it seemed like people really took that to heart and started moving games there to the point that now you get here to Dying Light 2 getting delayed to February 4th. And I really do think that they're on my list as one of the ones that would move again. Number one, because it just seems like that game's been in development hell. I don't know how it's coming together. Number two, I think you'd look at that, how crowded you are, and you're like, we're not going to have the time to breathe here. I don't know if this is a game that would breathe. Why don't we hold on to it, get a little bit further out when it's quieter? And I think in the same breath, Saints Row Reboot, I know a lot of eyes on it, but it's also, hey, let's make Saints Row relevant to a whole new generation of people. Do you really want it to come out and compete there, let alone how far is it based on what we had seen from the reveal? I think those would be where I'd put my money on it. The Nanobiologist, of course, points out over here, keeping Mario honest. He says Gran Turismo 7th is actually March 4th, not March 5th. Then Nano has a rare miss where he goes Pokemon Legends Arceus was missed, which launches January 28th. No, I read Pokemon Legends right after Elden Ring. So both praise and hate for Nanobiologist right there. But that's where I would think. And maybe in Sifu in the same breath of like, I feel like right now looking at this, and granted, there's going to be more games than this even. You see Sifu on February 22nd. I think that's a good, that can still breathe there. I think that's such a different game.
You know, Greg, I'm going to stop looking. I recently started having the chat on the background because it's interesting to see how people are reacting to the show in real time. I'm going to stop doing it because it just fucking irritates me. These fucking people, Greg, seriously. Like, it just seems like the only reason they watch is to like instantly try and go, oh, gotcha, you got that wrong. I've got better information than you. Listen, let me tell you something. The OLED thing was the last draw for me. I said that I've had serious burn-in issues on my OLED, which I had. LG technicians come out and replace the panel twice because the burn-in was so bad. And there's people in the chat going, oh, well, I haven't had burn-in on mine. What the fuck kind of response is that? It's like if I said to you, I got hit by a car, and you're like, well, I didn't. What the fuck is that? How is that useful? I'm going to turn the chat off.
That's fine. Real quick, you sound like you're trying to attack the you're wrong kids. Remember, I asked specifically for you're wrong to come in there. That's a different ball of wax than saying you're burning doesn't matter. I understand that. And nothing worse than having a technical issue. You tweet about it, you talk about it, people are like, never happened to me. Well, like, well, fuck you. I don't know what you want me to do with that information.
Yeah, exactly. How does that fucking help me? It doesn't invalidate my experience. Oh, yours didn't? I guess mine didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Fuck off. What's next?
This is what will make you happy. It's Xbox news, all right? Clear. Go Zen. Clear the mechanism. Number four on the Roper Report. Xbox Remote Play is getting an update. Today, we're opening up new possibilities for you to remotely play console games on your Windows 10 PC or later with updates to the Xbox app With this new update, you can now play some of your favorite console titles on a wide range of PCs, even if those PCs don't have the required specs of the certain PC titles. Streaming games through the Xbox app provides the quickest way to play without having to install games on your PC. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members in 22 countries around the world can now play Game Pass games directly from the cloud in the Xbox app on Windows 10 PCs. Game Pass members have been enjoying Xbox Cloud Gaming beta via browser on their phones, tablets, and PCs, and can now enjoy all the benefits directly in the Xbox app. To access games from the cloud on your Windows 10 PC, all you need is Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and a compatible controller. Open the Xbox app, click Cloud Gaming button, and select from the hundreds of games in your Game Pass library, including Sea of Thieves Mists, to start playing right away. Then, as we were talking about earlier, at the top of the thing, Xbox Remote Play lets you play games from your Series X or a Series S or any generation of Xbox One on your Windows 10 PC over the internet from your network or away. So there you go. Remote Play and Xbox app updates for Windows 10. Gary, that's what you guys needed.
Yeah, look, Microsoft's continuing to do really good things with the cloud gaming initiative. We talk about it on the XCast all the time. I'm still a little bit skeptical about it because I don't think the infrastructure is quite there yet. I've talked before about how I've tried doing the cloud gaming when I've been on the road with a good internet connection, and it's still sometimes a bit stuttery. It's not perfect. So I don't think it's quite there yet. I'm also struggling to figure out, like, what's the use case? I mean, I'm sure there is one. I just can't, off the top of my head, like, figure out how it would fit into my life. Playing a game at home on my Windows PC, which I'm streaming from another Xbox in the house. It's nice that you can do that. I just don't know what the situation would be where I would want or need to do that. But I'm sure there are people that have got different setups that it might be useful.
It's the example I've seen a lot of people wanting to play with their family or whatever. So, like, you know.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. My family, as I said earlier about WarioWare, my family really wants to play with me. Maybe that's the reason why it's not as relevant to me. The good thing is, again, I talk about this all the time on XCast, and I've talked about it here. The cloud gaming stuff is great. The internet infrastructure to support it isn't, to make it like really infallible, isn't quite there yet. But when it is, and inevitably I think will be over time, Microsoft's going to be, they're already going to have like a fully mature service and be in position to, you know, have an offering that I think is really, really compelling.
We shall see. Number five, this is a quick one for you. Driver is getting a live action series on Binge. This is an official Ubisoft press release. Today, Binge, a highly anticipated streaming platform showcasing premium original series and shows created for fans of gaming entertainment, and Ubisoft Film and Television announced a collaboration to bring the driving action video game franchise Driver to life. The live action series will stream exclusively on Binge.com and will be produced by the Ubisoft Film and Television alongside Alan Ungar and Vincent Talenty for Binge. Ubisoft Film, and there's a whole bunch of people who are like executive producing, you don't care. One of Ubisoft's most revered franchises and first open world driving action games, the game centers around an undercover agent and ex-race car driver, John Tanner, whose mission is to take down the local crime syndicate. Announced during E3 2021, Binge is a new streaming platform that will showcase original premium content inspired by the most popular video game worlds and content creators. Binge is focused on making high-quality entertainment content for gamers and doing it in a way that respects the fans and the games that inspire them. Led by a team of experienced content producers united by a passion for games, Binge will be available to stream for free on any internet-connected device when it launches in 2022. Further details on the live-action Driver series will be announced at a later date. To ensure you don't miss out on the latest Driver news, register as a founding member on Binge.com. Gary, number one, give me your impressions of Driver if you have any memories. And then number two, Binge? Binge.com?
Driver is at, I'm actually glad to hear that it's coming back in some form or another. I was a big fan of the Driver games back in the day. Driver San Francisco, remember that one? That was really good. I can't remember all the different
Driver
ones.
Driver San Francisco sucked, actually.
Did it?
Which Driver San Francisco? There was, I don't know if that was the title.
There was
that was
one
where you
really
teleported
liked
into people's body. It was you were in a coma and you were fighting from the inside.
Here's the only thing I remember about the one I played it to death, and it had a great soundtrack. It had California Soul was on the soundtrack, and yeah, I'm sure I could Google that and figure out, like, I could attach the song to whichever. Maybe it was Driver 3. It was maybe the most recent one before the Driver games kind of went away. But I really, really liked the Driver games, as I recall. There was one in particular. Maybe it was Driver 3, but I really, really liked it. I'm glad it's coming back. I love these kind of driving games that have a bit of a narrative, a bit of a cops and robbers feel. I kind of feel like the Driver games did that really well. the Ubisoft film and TV guys are really, I've been very, very impressed with what they've done so far. When I first found out, when I first heard that Ubisoft were getting seriously into film and television production, I was like, really, Ubisoft? What do they know? But they've done great. Mythic Quest, incredible. I haven't seen it, but I've heard nothing but good things about the werewolf movie. Sure. That came out recently. So apparently really, really good. And as I understand it, they've got a bunch of other really interesting stuff in the pipeline as well. Binge, I don't know, do we need, I mean, is anyone crying out for another streaming service at this point? We're getting to a point, I think, where these streaming services, there's so many of them, it's almost like channels on a cable dial. You know, like when you used to go to the old TV guide, and it was like, you know, 50 cable channels. It's like that with streaming services now, except you pay for each one. I definitely think that, you know, the TV landscape and the options that we have is far better than the old. You know what's weird, Greg? I actually kind of miss channel surfing. Like old-fashioned channel surfing, like with the remote, going click, 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 click. Oh, this looks interesting. Big Trouble in Little China. I'll watch this. You know, and just like that sense of like just like random discovery kind of went away, you know, or even just, you know, kind of going through the old TV guide, you know, the old scrolling channel guide looking for what was on TV. I kind of miss that like random, like, let's see what's on TV right now. The old idea of like what's on TV has kind of went away because the reality is now that everything is on TV all of the time and you have to choose. And now we end up with this kind of Netflix paralysis where I'll spend half an hour or an hour scrolling through Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus going, I don't know, what the fuck am I supposed to pick? There's too much choice. And I get overwhelmed by it. Maybe it's a generational thing. There's a whole generation of kids now. My child and yours, are growing up in a world where the idea of channel surfing or, you know, having to watch what, you know, the whole idea, oh, there's nothing on TV right now. Like that concept's dead. That's gone away. Like I said, everything is on TV all of the time.
And that was the thing, you know, we're gearing up, you know, to have the kid or whatever. Like, you know, we're prepping like, all right, well, you know, Jen can nurse out here or whatever. And one of the things she's like, can we get YouTube TV again? Because at 3 a.m, I'm not going to want to like pick something to watch. I'm going to want to flick around on the channel.
That's the thing. I often do go back to YouTube TV because they do actually have live television and it's relatively expensive, but I really like having it. It's the only way I can get my cable news and live sports and other things that, you know, are still kind of the purview of like quote unquote old fashioned television. But sometimes, you know, again, for people like us, Greg, of a slightly older vintage who remember the old days of channel surfing, it's still nice to be able to channel surf and YouTube TV. And
I don't miss
TV
it personally, but that's just because I don't like watching.
You don't
TV
miss it? I kind of do.
If I got time, if I have free time, let's play a game. You know what I mean?
The reality is when I go to YouTube TV, I generally channel surf and do the and again eventually conclude.
Find nothing.
Oh yeah, there's nothing on the telly.
Real quick, I want to come to your defense against an attack I lodged. I did some Googling. Driver San Francisco is the game that has your song in it. And I said, no, that game sucked. If you remember, there was an old GameScoop bit where I made fun of how stupid it was that this whole thing happened in Tanner's head while he's in a coma. But the game itself has an 8.0 from Kevin McDonald on IGN.com. Metacritic said an 8.2. My dated memory banks of games I've played and stuff, I must just be talking shit about how stupid the plot was. So I apologize, everybody. I see OMGLX says, fucking right, Greg. I accept your apology. I'm sorry to all the Driver San Francisco fans. I just thought it was a stupid idea for a story. That's what has been implanted in my brain from what 2012.
Wait, so what have we decided? Because again, I can't remember which was which. Are we deciding
people are, that game does not good? Suck. Driver San Francisco does not suck. I just think
I remember
the plot
it being
sucked.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. OMGLX says the plot was stupid.
I'm glad we clarified that.
But the game was great. So I'm going to extend my hand, shake OMGLX's hand out there right now, because, of course, we are being all right. All right.
That looked like you were just whacking off like a giant invisible dick, though, when you
did
that.
I got too much angle on it. Like, I guess zoomed in, you can't tell, right? But, like, this wouldn't work.
That's just a smaller dick. There you go. Okay, all right, good.
I just didn't have the angle, right? It'd be like some kind of curve.
I think the first one, it was just flaccid. You're trying to get it
going. I'm getting warmed up. I'm getting warmed up.
You're getting
it going. All right. Fair enough. Final story on the Roper Report is a new segment I call Can Kojima Play It? Hideo Kojima, of course, creator of Metal Gear Solid, tweeted about Deathloop. He tweets, Deathloop. It's a time loop game with an interesting system. I want to play it, but it's an FPS, and I'll probably get 3D sick. He then followed up and said, I always get sick even when I was in the gymnastics team. On field trips, I sat at the front of the bus. I get sick on the swings. At amusement parks, I couldn't go on the teacups, Viking rides, flying carpets, octopus rides, or anything that spun. Roller coasters are fine. So ladies and gentlemen, in the first installment of our new series, Can Kojima Play It? He cannot play Deathloop. Kevin, please add it to the list.
You really Kevin is on the list. You want me to put it on the list?
It's not that I can't play first-person like games. I can, and I enjoy them. I've played many first-person games, many over the years. I think through playing Aliens Fireteam and can't remember what else, there's been a couple of others that have come out recently, that I generally prefer that over-the-shoulder third-person approach. I went back to PUBG recently, and you know, PUBG, you can actually choose. Do you want to play third-person or first? Most of the hardcore elite players have gone to first-person. I still prefer, if there's a choice, I'll always prefer to play the third person. I don't know why, I just like it.
I agree. I like it too. For me, it's a setting thing where I like being able to see the character like I'm playing a movie or something like that. I like being able to see the character. It makes me feel more connected to it than me being first person and like clearly me not feeling like I'm that guy or whatever. That's a conversation for a different day. Are you going to play Deathloop?
Yeah, I got it on my PC. Actually, I'm looking at my Steam download queue. It actually just downloaded recently. So I'm curious to try. I mean, especially off the back of the reviews, it seems like really, really fun.
You can catch our review on the Kind of Funny Games cast, ladies and gentlemen, youtube.com/Kind of Funny Games podcast services around the globe. I can't wait to see what we review next and if Kojima can play it. But Gary, that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grub shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Flask Old Man on Xbox One, Deathloop on PlayStation 5 and PC, Cruisin' Blast on Switch, Colors Live on Switch, Honey, I Joined a Cult on PC, Era of Newborns, PC, Red Dead Online's Frontier is booming with opportunities for collectors this week, beginning with a free collector's map, plus double bonuses for discovering collectibles and on all collector set sales. New dates for you. Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming to early access on the Epic Games Store on October 26, 2021. Chasing Static on Steam and Windows PC is coming October 14th, but it'll later come in 2022 Q1 to Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. Barricades is coming to Steam on September 30th, 2021. YouTuber's Life 2 is coming out on October 19th on console and PC. And then Bonfire Peaks is coming to PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and 5 on September 30th. Deals of the day. Xbox has updated what's going on over on Xbox Game Pass. So here are a bunch of games coming your way. Flynn, Son of Crimson, comes to cloud, console, and PC September 15th. These next three games are all September 16th. I Am Fish, Skatebird, and Superliminal, all coming console, PC, and cloud. Then on September 17th, you get Origami 2, cloud, console, and PC. September 23rd, you get a bunch of games. Lost Words, Beyond the Page, cloud, console, PC. Sable, cloud, console, PC. Subnautica, Below Zero, cloud, console, PC. And then Tainted Grail Conquest, PC. Then on September 28th, Lemnis Gate, console, and PC. September 30th, you get two games, Astria Ascending, cloud, console, PC, and then Unsighted on a cloud, or I'm sorry, console and PC. And then finally, October 1st, Phoenix Point on console. Game Pass, the gift that keeps on giving, Gary Witta.
I love it. Best deal. No, I said it before, best deal, not only in gaming, but the best deal in entertainment. It never seems to amaze me what's out there on Game Pass.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say the second best deal in entertainment is, in fact, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get all of our shows ad-free with the exclusive post shows. You can watch live as we record the other shows. You can write in to be on the shows. You can do all sorts of stuff. And what you can do when you write into Kind of Funny Games Daily is, of course, ask questions about the day's news. But more importantly for right now, squad up, and that's exactly what DJ Kento is doing. DJ Kento needs friends on the PlayStation 5. His PSN name is It's DJ Kento, ITSDJ. Kento. DJ Kento writes, Deathloop is out. I'm looking to load up my friends list with people who want to invade my Deathloop game. If I'm going to get taken out, I want to be a fellow Kind of Funny best friend. If you would like to go be the Juliana to DJ Kento's cult, hit up It's DJ Kento on PlayStation 5.
I hate to be a bore because you know I always ask this question and I could just Google it, but you're right here.
I love answering your questions.
Does Deathloop have either crossplay and or cross progression?
It does not either. No.
Fuck me.
You fucked up, man. Just play it on PlayStation.
I fucked. How did I? That's not my fuck up.
Just play it on PlayStation. You know what's going to be around here. Now you're going to have Andy invading.
I mean, I asked because I do actually have it on both. Yeah, I got a code for the PlayStation 5 version, and I got it on Steam. I you know, it'd be nice to be able to go back and forth and not have to worry about, oh, you know, just start a new career or whatever it is, you know.
I mean, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I'd love to see that too, but just keep in mind that, like, you're talking about a company so selfish that they're taking all their games to Xbox exclusivity. So, like, really think about that. Pete Hines over there. Wow. The real villain is Pete Hines, because he screwed you on this one, and then he screwed me for every game going forward for trophies.
Not Pete.
It pains me to say it too. For years, Pete Hines has been our friend, Kevin, but look at him right now. He just stabbed Gary, and I don't mind that much, but on the next game, he's going to stab me. Pete Hines out here stabbing everybody. You hate to see it. We asked people to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw up. We went through them on the show as we went. And then there was a lot of editorializing about stuff. We're not getting into it. Tomorrow's host, though, is going to be Blessing and Andy. Thursday will be another Tim Tam Thursday when Tamora and Tim take over the show. Friday, it will be me and Blessing. If you are watching live right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Mike Barrett and Blessing, and Kevin, of course, too, are going in to Metal Gear Solid 3 after this. If you want to catch all of the Metal Gears, if you didn't know, they're playing through all the Metal Gears. They're up to 3 right now. They are pushing on. You can catch all the archives on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our newest YouTube channel. We'd love it if you liked, subscribed, shared, click the little bell so you know when we go live and all that jazz. If you still like me and Gary and want to hear more from us, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We have a post show to go do over there. You can also get this show ad-free. You know, the other show's ad-free. You know how it is. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, the second best deal in entertainment is what I've heard. Right below that, Movie Pass, but I'm not even sure if that's still around, Kevin. Is that still around?
No, that died and burned. It was a big fire.
Wow. I didn't realize there was an actual fire when it went down. Gary, you've been a great host today. All right?
Thank you, sir. Co-host.
I love you. Yeah,
I could never do what you do. I couldn't sit in the host chair. I'm happy just to sit here and kind of mouth off.
No, I've never been in the first chair. We've never given him that.
And I would never want you to. I would turn it down if you asked me to do it. I would never want to do that.
Honestly, I think that'd be another good
easy job.
That would be another fun, like, April Fool's one-off of just like what you would do.
I'll never do it.
I'm proud.
Never, because it's too much pressure. You've actually got to, like, prepare and have notes and, you know, there's like scripted bits you've got to do
beforehand.
I just like running my mouth. It's the easy part.
Tomorrow's going to be on the Metal Gear Solid. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.